Downloads of this show are available on Podomatic.com and the Podomatic mobile app.
You have 17 voice messages. First voice message.
What's going on, dude? You son of a bitch. Yes, no.
You can't stop it.
I gotta say that today.
End of message.
I got a big plan. Big idea, bro. Big idea.
Message erased. Next message.
We're still here. Enjoy it.
It's ODG. Occupy Dave and Giggles.
End of message. Next message.
Right, seriously, yeah. Guys. Fort.
You know we do a radio show, right?
I just want to say that we never claim to be a comedy show. We just entertain.
You son of a bitch. I'm freaking out. Freaking out. You look so good right now.
Give me a chant you want to lead.
Dave and Giggles.
Dave and Giggles.
Got to go big. Really big.
Message erased.
Might have to do it from the phone. Which, I don't know which network it is. Is it this one? Home EE53? I'm gonna ask Marie again. I'm just bugging her. See the chat.
I love it.
We just got on the air right now.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Why don't you sit down?
I will. You know, my daughter just did a Hillary Clinton right yeah? here next door.
What's going on next door?
Okay. So my daughter started a documentary
okay.
for about Hillary Clinton. Okay. She's very big on Twitter.
All right.
And Hillary found her on Twitter and said to one of her staffers, "You need to find this girl for me."
Okay.
So with that, they contacted her, and they saw that she wanted to do this documentary. So Hillary said, "Wonderful. Just let me know if you need me to help you with anything."
Great.
And my daughter was just, of course, blown out of the water, very humbled and surprised.
She's standing
excited.
Over there right now.
Not this one. It's actually my other daughter okay. who's 21.
All right.
And so she just premiered the documentary next door.
Great.
Yeah, and she's worked on it for about a year. And she's traveled all over the country.
So what's it about? Give us a rundown.
So it's entitled to all the little girls. I think Hillary had said that at one time, to all the little girls, you know, sure. always believe in yourself and know that you can do anything.
In her speech in 90s, and the speech was she gave
yes.
at the UN.
Correct.
Yeah. Yep.
So Rebecca entitled that for the documentary.
Great.
And then I guess she went around and interviewed all the people who were distraught after the election and what their thoughts were on it. And she visited Arkansas, where Hillary and Bill lived.
Sure.
She went to their
one of their residencies.
Yeah.
Sure.
When they first got married. And it's a museum now. And then they went to the Clinton Presidential Library. They interviewed people there. And what Hillary and Bill have meant to the state of Arkansas.
Sure. Is that where you're not from Arkansas, though?
No, we are from the Philadelphia area.
Philly. I can
and
hear
Rebecca
it a little bit.
Attended Emerson College. She just graduated last month. She did it in 3 years.
Great.
Marketing, communications, social media.
Can they see it online here?
Yeah, I think it's actually on. Well, she does. I think she's going to put it in on YouTube on Wednesday, I think, is the release date. And it'll be entitled to all the little girls. And you can also follow her on Twitter. I believe, is she Becca X Morgan on Twitter? What is her Twitter name? I'm not real versed.
We're not really sure. So,
Brad, what is Rebecca's Twitter name? Oh, it's me, Becca.
Me, Becca.
It's me,
straight
Becca.
Straight up, it's me, Becca.
Right, it's me, Becca. So, she's the documentary yeah. is interviewing people. She actually just interviewed Hillary last month.
Great. She must have been excited.
Very, very excited. And Hillary actually took time out of her very busy schedule to sit with Rebecca. And you would have thought Katie Couric was interviewing Hillary. It was just amazing. Yeah. And
Hillary's
one of the staffers
attentive.
Actually said to Rebecca after, "That's one of the best interviews anybody has ever done
there
with
it goes.
Hillary."
There it is.
So, it was wonderful. So she just did the premiere, and there were about 50 people there.
Great.
Some of her supporters. She actually also, I should mention, raised money on a GoFundMe, I believe, or maybe it was through Twitter.
It was probably one of the funding things. Sure,
doing the documentary because every week she's flying somewhere else to.
That's great.
To get footage for it. Yeah, so it's wonderful.
That's great. So,
really, really wonderful.
Oh, we just started a show. Didn't even get a chance to like settle in here. We are Dave and Giggles, and we have a proud mom in the room.
Yes.
That's basically what we're saying here. What was your name again?
Denise Brubaker. Denise? And my daughter is Rebecca.
Rebecca. It's me, Becca.
Yes.
On Twitter.
Yes.
She just made a documentary. Has Hillary in it?
Yes.
I believe, yeah.
And it all started, too. Rebecca went to the DNC, and she was a photographer there.
Great.
And was very inspired in politics through that and was very impressed with Hillary. So that's sort of where the ball started rolling.
I'm sure.
And she has a lot of great footage from that as well.
Sure.
And
go to a DNC
thing.
Then
she actually volunteered for the Hillary campaign in, I believe it was New Hampshire, because she was in Boston at Emerson. And, you know, she was out knocking on doors
sure.
and getting people to vote.
So I'm sure she was quite distraught.
She was very, very distraught, yes. Depressed,
being on
distraught.
The inside, yeah.
And
so what kind of stuff did she find through this documentary? Like, what did she go and talk to people about? Like, what'd she find? What were the findings?
Okay, the findings were, so people who knew Hillary either before Bill was governor in Arkansas, during their presidency, she interviewed people about that. She interviewed people how they felt after the election.
Oh, okay.
And she's interviewing people about how they feel now about politics. And I guess that's about it.
That's what you got?
Yeah, so, I guess that's what I have.
So, but I mean, we'll see more in the documentary.
You will.
Follow her on It's
yes.
Becca on
yes.
Twitter. And so Is she going to put it up online where people could see it, or is she going to tour it around?
Yes, I believe it's
going
to be on YouTube on June 13th, which is Wednesday.
Cool. Well, I'll be looking out for it.
People can find it there. To all the little girls, I think if they Google that, they'll find.
To all the little girls.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
It was a pleasure speaking with you. Thanks for allowing me to speak.
Well, thanks for coming in on your way to the bathroom and hanging out.
Exactly, right? I said, hey, look, you have an empty seat.
There's always an empty seat. You can always come here anytime you want. So they having the refreshments and everything next door?
They are. And as a matter of fact, we're just ending. So do you want me to bring you a couple little sandwiches or cookies or anything? Because we're looking to
If you have any extra.
We do.
Stop on by. But I'm not hounding for them. I'm not that hungry, but maybe I'll save them for later. You know what I'm saying?
Why not?
Yeah.
Little snack, little something.
Little snack, little something.
All right.
Well, thank you very much.
That was a pleasure. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah, pleasure to meet you. Have fun.
You never know what's going to pop in.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. All right. Well, we are Dave and Giggles. Is anybody here with us? I know we were getting some weird feedback from our guest. I'm
right here.
He's there. You're there, buddy. Hey, buddy. What's happening?
What's up? Where's the guy I met? The other guy.
He's coming. He's bouncing around. He looks like he's doing his show from the porch. I bet he ran in to get himself a beer. So that's probably the extent of what we're doing right now. That was a unexpected guest. There was literally someone hanging outside the door, and she's like, "Hey, can I come in?" And I was like, "Sure." So. There we go. We found out about somebody else we never knew anything about. So there's always that. So introduce yourself. Give us a little rundown. Giggles. Actually, let's have Giggles introduce
our
guest.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you great.
All right. Is Zach on?
Yeah, Zach's here.
All right. Well, I was supposed to do an intro. Sorry, I was grilling.
Grilling.
I'm at a family function.
Nice.
And I had to get the food ready first before I could jump on the show. So this sounds like perfect time.
Am I introducing myself or what?
All right, there you go. So Zach is a MMA fighter, and I met him the other night, and we were hanging out, and I was like, you know what? You sound like you have some stories.
What's
you should
on?
Come on a radio show. And so he's like, yeah, I'll do it. And I was like, all right. First one that's actually said this actually came on, which is pretty great.
That is pretty amazing. So where did you meet Zach? Or where did you meet Giggles?
I met Giggles at – I can't hear him, by the way.
Oh, you can't?
No.
Oh, that's interesting. You should be able to hear him because
I can't hear Zach either.
Well, that's really fascinating.
All right, hang up on both of us and pull
us
back.
I have no idea what he said about me. He could have said just like.
I mean, that would be
said. Yeah, he said everything. I think he said everything. All right, I'm going to real quick jump off and then jump back on and see if you guys can hear each other because you should be able to hear each other fine.
Okay, I don't see. Yeah.
Yeah. Give me a quick second. Hold on.
No worries.
All right. So as we get this thing set up. We're going to see if we can... Oh, I see what's happening. They're on two separate channels. And Zach, you're still there, right?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, yeah, hold on one second. I'm going to add him in. Yeah, because you, for some reason, you guys were on two separate calls. That's why it was... That should never even happen. I don't even understand it. All right, let's see if we can get him back. So what was your first impression of said Giggles? He's quite the handler, isn't he?
Oh, he's great. I was hanging out with my... with my godfather and my old wrestling coach, actually in Colorado. We were just smoking shisha out. You know, it was late at night. We're just smoking shisha out on the porch or in the garage, actually, with the door open. And he just came over and just started, like, talking.
He
and
just
I was
started
like,
talking.
All right, it was cool. And then he casually brought up he had a radio show. And he was like, hey, you know, you could you fill an hour? And I was like, yeah, I could easily fill an hour.
Yeah, it's easy to fill an hour. All right, I can't get him back on. So bear with me 1 second. I'm going to hang up on you and call you right back.
No worries.
All right, cool. All right, so you know how this stuff works. It's always quite the awkwardness, but we will get things back on track and have a grill out, apparently. Let's see if this works. He's such a pain in the ass, you know. This should work. Come on. All right, everyone should be here now.
Everyone's here.
Here we go.
There we
go. Look at this. Now we're a party.
Now we're a
Sometimes
party.
Sometimes it takes us like 15 minutes to get
sure.
into it.
Yeah, it was on two separate calls. It wasn't on the same call, which is interesting for further, you know, if I need to have like a secret call, I know to have two separate calls. I didn't know that was possible until right now. All right, so we were talking about how you guys met, and was it at a party? Is that what happened?
No, it was just I was just hanging out with my godfather smoking shisha like in the garage because I was just visiting Colorado at the time, and he just walked by and just popped in and just we just started talking.
So wait a minute, did he see you and then just kind of like walk up?
I think so, yeah.
No. Chris invited me.
Chris invited you? Okay.
Yeah, Chris invited me. He's like, "Hey, I'm smoking hookah in the garage," and I was like, "All right, sure, I'll hang out."
Did you partake? Did you have any hookah
at the very end? Zach kind of pressured me into it.
Yeah,
I was fine without the hookah.
Yeah,
it was nice. It's a bubbly. It tasted like it tasted smooth. It was nice. You know?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different flavors. I'm a fan of like hookah for like 2 minutes. And then it gets too cloudy, gets too smoky. It just gets a little too much. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good, guys. We just spent like $60 on renting a hookah and buying the hookah. And now I'm good. But yeah, teach his own. You know, you like a hookah, have a little hookah for yourself.
There it is. All right. So I got to ask Zach this question because I've never actually met an MMA fighter or, hung out with one for a while. You were born in Germany and you're and you've got a sort of a mixed bag. Why don't you explain sort of your background, your upbringing? Give me a little bit of the Zach story.
Okay, so born and raised, actually born in Arizona, but I lived there. Like, I guess basically my parents were like backpacking through Arizona when I happened to be born there.
That's wild.
Yeah, I moved to Germany when I was really young. Was just the MMA stuff actually came just because, you know, I've always been like a scrappy kid, like, and I was always getting beat up in school because you're a third culture kid, you know. I wasn't German, you know. I'm like an Asian kid growing up in Germany. I'm not American either, though, and there's a lot of American people there. I'm not like at the time I wasn't like I'm a Muslim now, but at the time I wasn't. So I had all these there was like a bunch of different cultures. I didn't really fit into any of them, so I'm always getting beat up by everybody. And so basically I came home like with a black eye like one too many times. My dad's like, you know, look, you gotta learn how to start fighting. So and I was smaller than everyone too. I'm still not like a tall dude, but I went to
But now you know how to fight. Now you know how to fight.
Yeah. And I went to a wrestling club and I got pretty good growing up, like at a cadet level and like a high school level. I was pretty filthy and
like dirty, scrappy. Like you could just like take people down. Like you were just punching people. Is that a MMA lingo? Is that kind of like the
No. I mean, yeah, taking people down, that's definitely a part of it. And just like there's a lot to it, though. But yeah, that all just kind of came from, just like my dad pushing me, like not wanting me to get beat up anymore. And then eventually, like because of wrestling, I got an opportunity to come to America again. I had planned on staying in Germany for a very long time, but I got recruited to go to the Olympic training site after this one tournament that the U.S. The junior team was there. And so I was wrestling with them. I did a camp with them. And then the coach gave me an offer to go to the Olympic training site up in Northern Michigan University in Marquette. So I went there. I was wrestling. I wrestled there for a year. And then I was like, you know, this isn't really for me anymore. I think I'm going to start fighting. So I just started fighting.
So you left college to go fight.
Left college to go fight. You were going to ask him the same question.
Yeah, that's crazy. These
questions out, Dave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, go ahead. Yeah. No, I left college to go fight. Yeah. That's basically it.
So let's talk about fighting. Let's talk about getting in a ring because I'm not let's just say right now I'm not a very good fighter.
Right,
I get beat up a lot.
You've
inspired me to kind of want to learn how to fight a little bit. But like when you get in the ring with some dude and it's just like, what do you just like? You think he like killed your mother? Like how do you just psych yourself into being like, all right, I got to literally like kill this guy without killing him? Is kind of what you need to do in MMA, right? Or
to get into the mindset?
Yeah, man. What's yeah?
So for me, I don't know. I've always had like everybody's got pain in their life, right? We all got stuff that's happened to us that like makes us like who we are. Mm-hmm. And like a big thing for MMA, it's like the easiest way because like a big part of like what makes us who we are is like the trauma we've experienced, the bad things we've experienced, you know, the negative things. And so like for me when I fight or even when I'm training sometimes it comes out, but like all these like bad feelings that I have, all these like all like the misery I went through in my life. And I'm not saying that I had a hard life, but everybody has, you know, everybody has a hard
life. Sure.
And so like when I'm fighting, like all that is able to just kind of like come out and like manifest itself. And so like in a way, the way I relate to the whole world and the way that I'm able to deal with my own emotions and my own pain is through fighting. And before it was through wrestling, but now it's through fighting. And it's like, that's so in a way, I guess like violence is a way that I relate to the world.
That's pretty wild, Zach. That's pretty intense. The fact that you
wrestling, you can't really like draw blood. You know, you can't really like finish. You can't do like a finish.
There's no finish move.
Break the guy's arm.
We're not in wrestling here. Yeah.
This MMA is like blood sport.
I would say actually the biggest misconception like anybody has ever had about wrestling though is that it's not as much of a fight as MMA is, and I would say it's the opposite. I would say when I'm doing MMA, I don't feel like it's not as physically draining. Like maybe the blows to the head, like the brain damage, like that can add up over time. But I would say as far as like feeling like an actual fight, like Greco-Roman wrestling, I'd say it's more than MMA. And like a lot of people don't understand that. I think that like it's tougher as far as just like the level of competition, like how intense it is from start to finish. Like in MMA, you get breaks, you know. If I get taken down in a match, I'll just like sit in the guard. I can relax there for a second as long as I'm not getting ground and pounded. If I take someone down, I can relax on top of them. If we're
so
like,
how do you feel striking about the grounded and pounded? Like, because I've seen it. I've seen some MMA stuff. So like people take you down and like you kind of just the person just on the bottom just kind of goes limp or just kind of like struggles to maintain while getting just pummeled in the face or wherever and until they call the fight. Like, do we feel that that is like a little too much? Like, shouldn't we call it once we have there's someone has the upper hand?
So I think Uriah Faber put it best. He said it's a simulated death match, but like you don't necessarily have to simulate everyone's death. There's a lot of fighters who have very like almost like it's still a sport at the end of the day. And so like a lot of people they play, they hug
and stuff afterwards.
There's a lot of hugging.
I mean, like they not only that, but it's just like they play to the rules. Like they win a fight in a way that wouldn't win you a real fight in real life, if that makes sense, or like in a real like street setting.
Yeah, that's
that
wild.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. So what is the worst injury you had either during training or an actual fight?
I've been pretty injury free. I partially tore my MCL, but that actually happened because I was like just going with some people who are kind of like when you're training with beginners, a lot of them like they're trying to compensate for the lack of technique and the lack of skill, lack of strength by just being like by putting it all in there. And so like a lot of times you can have very like spastic guys like do things that hurt you when you're just trying to train. So like for me,
if I was to get in a training room.
No.
Yeah.
No, don't never do that. You're too frail.
That's cool. Like I want everybody. I literally want everybody to be good at defending themselves, good at just fighting. That's good for everybody. But when you're starting out, don't be so spastic. Like take it easy, you know?
But you got to learn. You got to learn. Yeah, it's just like anything else.
Read your opponent.
Well, yeah.
What's some advice? So I don't know if you can see Dave. Dave's the guy that would probably get robbed pretty easily. You know, he's a big guy. He probably defend himself, but they might catch him on his phone. All right, what are your best advice? What's your best advice for Dave to defend himself? He's a bigger guy.
For
so Dave, listeners at home, he's muscular.
He's a bigger guy. Against the bigger guy, or is he a bigger guy?
I would say I'm a bigger guy.
Yeah, just let's say like Dave's gonna get robbed. Yeah.
If Dave's gonna get robbed,
people that are about
I don't know. Like, I would say, honestly, if you're getting robbed, like, it's not worth your life.
It's not
worth everything. I would say just run.
Yeah.
I would say if you're not fast, I don't know. Like, if you're a bigger dude, then you would want to, like, probably close the distance.
Exactly.
Like, not try to stand and strike with somebody because you don't know how good someone else is at throwing hands.
Well, it also depends on what you're getting. If you're getting robbed with a gun or a knife or something, give them what they want and walk away knowing that you walked away.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's really what it comes down to. Read your opponent.
Yeah, yeah. If a guy has a gun on you, I would it's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
If a guy has a knife, I think I could, depending on what type of knife, I think I could fight a guy with a knife. I don't know. I don't know how I would react.
We should probably put this to the test at some point, Ooh. Zach. We should do this. How old are you, Zach? Just out of curiosity.
I'm 20 old years. I'm
20 years young, as I'd like. Nah. 20 years old. I am 20. Almost 40 years young, as 20. I'd like to say.
Yeah.
I definitely would not match up against a 20-year-old. Just couldn't do it. Just don't have the energy anymore, Zach. I'm just too tired.
Old man strength is a real thing, though.
It is a real thing. It totally is.
Yoel Romero just fought yesterday. I think he won the fight. He's 41 years old, I think. He fought Bobby Knuckles. That was crazy.
Bobby Knuckles. How do you feel about... So you had McGregor go up against Mayweather. How'd you feel about mixing MMA with boxing? Totally two different styles, totally two different sports even, but to get money, to get that money grab, they throw these guys together to kind of like merge the worlds. How did you feel about it as an MMA guy?
I mean, bitter, first of all, just like how he made all that money.
Yeah.
At the same time, I mean, if someone's offering me all that money to get, I don't care who I'm fighting. If they offer me $100 million, I would take it. I would. You know, that's die for amount of money, you know? So,
yeah. Someone pulls up to your house with a dump truck full of money, you don't say no. That's really what it comes down to.
That's effectively what that was.
Sure.
I think I mean, a lot of people have very polarized views about Conor.
What about the mountain from...
The mountain?
No, he's breaking up.
What about the mountain from
he's breaking up. Mountain. You're breaking up there. Are you on Wi-Fi or something? Get off that Wi-Fi. You're breaking up.
Yeah, Mike, you're breaking up, man.
He's breaking up. He's fiddling with his microphone. I love it. How long? All right, let me ask you this question. How long did you train before you had your first fight?
Not long, because I'm a wrestler. So, I've been training a long time wrestling. So if you want to count that as training, then 10 years, I guess. 12 years. I don't know how long I've been wrestling, but. Yeah. If you count like actual MMA, like striking and stuff, I trained probably like 3 months before I did my first,
3 months is still a long time. I mean, it's not in the grand scheme of things. It's a very short period of time, but like training, learning techniques, learning opponents, learning all that stuff. 3 months is quite a long time. So that's pretty good.
I basically walked into a gym and I was like, hey, you know, I want to fight. And they were like, okay.
They were receptive.
They were very receptive just because of my wrestling background and everything that, just everything I was able to.
Is there anyone they're not receptive to? Like anyone?
I mean,
who just
yeah.
Walks
if
in?
You go in and you don't have the skill set, like I would hope my coaches would be realistic with me too, and I think they are now. Like if there's something you're doing over your head, or like if you're not ready for a fight, you need someone to tell you, you know, you're not ready.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I'm like for me, just because of, you know, me wrestling as long as I did, that was not a concern. Like my work ethic or nothing like that was a question. It was just a matter of if it was already or not with the striking and the jiu-jitsu.
Right.
And, yeah. So, I mean, different people are going to learn at different rates too. And I think that anybody can be really, really great, especially at fighting, because we're all just people. We all got we got two arms, two legs, and a head, you know? So we all got the same tools.
Hold on 1 second.
But it's just like some people are going to take longer than others, but everybody, I think, can get to a very, very high level of competition.
Yeah. That's pretty wild. Susan, are you there? Hold on 1 second.
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I am. Hold on with that for 1 second, Zach. I just want to catch up with an old friend. Susan, what's happening? What's going on?
Well, we still have the castle.
Still have the castle. So if you remember, great, and then we'll catch Zach up. So we got Zach here. He's an MMA fighter telling us all about MMA fighting, which is far reaches of selling castles. But Susan was having a contest to give away her castle. So basically, it's a castle. It's in Scotland, right? Do I have that right, or is it in Ireland?
It's in Scotland.
Okay, it's in Scotland.
It's right next to the border to England, so it's only 40 miles from England.
It's only 40 miles from England. So she had the contest, and she didn't get enough people to sign up. So the castle is still up for grabs. We're saying here.
I think the main problem we had, well, there was two problems we had. The first one was that people thought it was too good to be true.
I know, I did.
So they thought it was a scam, so they didn't go in for it. And the second one was we had a lot of trouble because we couldn't take credit cards, and that made it very difficult.
That did, I remember. So what's the plan now? What are you going to do with the castle?
Well, I did offer, even though we didn't make enough to be able to give it away, I did say to the winner that she could come here and, try to sort a business out, run something here for a year free of charge sort
That's
of thing.
Amazing.
And I'd, you know, maybe she'd make enough to buy it or something, and I'd give her all the help I could, and I'd kind of go away.
Back out very slowly, away from the castle.
Yeah, I just kind of leave her to it, really.
Yeah.
But she was kind of settled in her own, she's a lovely lady. She's settled in her own part of the country. She's in Manchester.
That's the hard part. Like, in my head, I'm like, you know, I could give it up. I could give all this up and just go to, you know, just go to Scotland and live in this castle for a while. That sounds great. But in actuality, it's like, well, then I'd have to be leaving so much. So I think that's probably a big draw from people actually being like, I could do this. Let me jump into this.
Yeah. I think it is. I mean, I think if someone's, there were so many, I mean, I was getting so many emails and, texts and all sorts of things from people that really wanted to win it and had brilliant ideas of what they were going to do with it and that, you know, and if they'd had a chance to come here and do something, loads of them would have done. But obviously, it just depends who wins the competition. I mean, in the end, she won 65,000, which, you know, was peanuts compared with
sure.
what we were expecting.
But still not that bad. It's not no drop in the bucket.
Oh, it's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
For a fiver, I suppose. But no, and we did. We received a lot of publicity all over the world. The last 2 weeks, if we'd received the same amount of entries the last 2 weeks, the last 2 weeks were...
Yeah,
80% of our entries, basically.
Huh. It felt like it was gaining a little bit momentum towards the end.
Yeah, I think it was because it suddenly got advertising, which it didn't get before. It suddenly got promoted in Germany, where in Germany they're very, very into doing things with bank accounts. They don't really use credit cards. So when it hit Germany, we just had, 80% of our entrants were German.
Interesting. So they don't really use, debit cards in Germany, you're telling me?
No, that's right. I didn't know that. If I'd known that earlier, I would have concentrated.
In Germany,
on Germany.
That's really wild. I wonder why that's not a thing. Maybe it's just, never caught on, never became... That's interesting. That's really wild.
What are we talking about, Germany?
Apparently, they're really into cash there, and they like to...
Germany, apparently, there's no... they don't really use debit cards there.
I mean, people do pay a lot of stuff.
So they didn't have a problem with, the whole
bank account
hassle of doing the banking thing. Of course, we did set up stuff beforehand, but of course PayPal were there 1 minute and then changed their minds and stuff. They're a little bit annoying.
Right.
But I have been approached by a Canadian company about rerunning it with a sponsor.
Well, that sounds great.
Yeah, if we decide to rerun it, then obviously we'll have a sponsor in line so that it's guaranteed, and then there won't be anybody that can say, oh, we might not win it if we can make it a guaranteed thing. So that's one of the things to look at, and then obviously there's maybe doing something else with it. So I'm kind of open to suggestions.
Yeah, and it seems like you're a little hopeful. Hopeful is good.
I'm always hopeful.
Yeah. This kid. Mike, are you on the phone?
I'm on the phone, and I'm calling you.
All right, I'm going to call you back on the other thing. Say hi. Say hi to...
Hey, Susan.
Susan.
What's up, Susan?
Hi.
How are you? You still got the house. Still got the castle.
She's there somewhere.
She can't hear me.
She can't hear you. All right, Susan, I'm juggling a lot right here. Give a call back next week, and we'll talk a little bit more in depth about the castle, and we'll figure out what's going on with Canada. And we'll talk more about what's going on with Canada as far as politics, because that's all a goddamn mess. So we'll get into it. Give a call back next week, and we'll catch up a little bit better.
All right, then.
It was good talking to you, Susan.
Thanks. Take care.
All right.
She's still got the castle.
She's still got the castle.
Oh, jeez.
I know.
We should hold MMA competitions in that castle.
We should.
That would be great, actually. I bet you could
see
that.
Why are you? I'm in, man. I'm an ideas man.
Why are we getting
together with some funding?
You're getting a... do you have a speaker on over there? Because I'm getting a...
Maybe it's on my phone.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, it's probably
on my phone. Oh, yeah, it's the phone. Right. I was still calling you. Sorry, I needed to reach out.
I know.
Hey, listen, we've been doing this show for 8 years, and we still don't get it right.
We still don't get it right. Susan's awesome. Susan's really great. We tried to help her out with her contest, but I really do think too many people thought it was a scam, because I'm telling this to Zach specifically. So this woman was having a contest to give away a castle, and you could go see this castle. I don't remember the website offhand, but it was a beautiful, well-kept castle, huge. It was like 40 bedrooms,
42
rooms. And all you had to do was enter $7 or something like that. And answer some riddle or something, which
put
is really
some
easy.
Random like English bank account that wasn't PayPal.
Right.
So it was like,
so it
really
just seemed really, really sketchy.
It wasn't set up right.
It wasn't set up right. But I mean, after talking to Susan, I know it wasn't a scam. I think.
Yeah.
And Susan's really awesome. She's
a
real
person.
Awesome.
Did you
watch the video? Yeah. Watch the video. We should play the rap video at some point. It's really good.
It's from the heart.
It's from the heart. It's from the heart.
All right, Zach, what's next for you? When's your next fight? Do you just fight and then you hang out for a while and you travel and then you just get all jacked up again and then fight and then what's your season? Do you have a season? Do you have an agent? Or is you just
I'm right now I got a good team of coaches. I got a good I got a really good person who's trying to get me to do some big stuff. I don't want to talk too much into it because kind of want to keep it under wraps for now, but I'm working with really, really good, I guess, comrade of mine, Jeff Monson. And so once things get more like more finalized, then I can start talking about it. Right now, I just can't talk about it though.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So what's your record right now?
3-0 amateur. I'm looking for a professional, my professional debut is coming up. Again, though, I can't like talk about it.
Can't talk about that
so much because, it's still a work in progress.
It's on the DL. You don't want to blow it up.
Blow it up.
Yeah.
That's right. Pretty awesome. Man.
Hey, listen, we don't need to press you for, this isn't CNN, bro.
This isn't CNN.
We don't need the hard facts.
DNG. I have a very good idea of what I'm going to do, but just in case it falls through, like I don't want to be stupid and make myself sound stupid on the air, you know?
Right. You're protecting yourself here, buddy. 3-0 though. 3-0 is pretty impressive.
Thank you. One fight of the night bonus as well.
Nice.
What's I'm like 0-2.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever won a fight. And I think the one time I won a fight, Dave and I were talking about this, he was a much smaller kid than me. You know, he was just like a little runt that was trying to pick a fight with me, and I had to like kind of put him down a little bit. And I didn't really even hit him that hard.
Wasn't he like mentally handicapped?
No. This one, he did break my glasses. He knocked my glasses off and then broke my glasses in half. And I was like, ah! I'm screwed. You know?
What about the time you got beaten up?
Well, this one kid, when I was like in seventh grade, he asked me for a hitch. I was riding my bike, and he was on his roller skates. And he's like, yo, can you give me a hitch to the park? And I was like, yeah, all right. And so, like, this was the bully. I thought, like, why is this kid asking to be my friend? You know, this is weird. And so I'm like, I'm pulling him along on my bike, and all of a sudden I feel this like whack at the back of my head. You know, punches me in the back of the head. And I was like, dude, what the fuck, man? And he's like, he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it hits me in the side of the head and then skates off.
He did it for no reason.
I started crying.
He did it for no reason. There was no reason for him to hit you.
Well, he was the bully, man. He was just the neighborhood, you know, jock. He was the guy that would do that to the weaklings like me with the glasses, you know.
Did you ever look to see if he's online, see if you could track him down?
I don't know his I know his first name's Steven, but I forget his last name. I don't know his last name, but he was a troubled kid. He's probably like
in jail.
Or maybe he's got like, you know,
he's
successful
in jail.
You know, he's like a lawyer now.
Jail.
Who knows?
No, he's in jail.
Who knows? Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's the thing that irks me, that irks most people the most, is that, like, a lot of times bullies do, like, grow up to be bums, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're just as successful as everyone else, if not more, so.
They grow up to be presidents.
Good point.
Ooh. I was saving that one. That was good.
That was a good one, actually. Yeah, that was good. I feel like Donald Trump couldn't have really... I feel like he wouldn't have... I don't know. I feel like he's not a bully. I don't think he's tough enough to be a bully.
Well, yeah, he's... He's a New York bully. I'll be honest. He's a New York bully.
He's got the money.
He's got the money to back it, and he also...
And he's got the thugs. He's got people that work for him.
He'll say whatever he wants, and he could back it up with...
Right, but like, let's say, dude, if I'm a little kid in the 60s, I don't know how old he is. I should read up on that. But
he's 71.
If I'm a little kid in the 60s and Donald Trump comes to me in like the locker room and says, give me your lunch money, I don't think I would be really afraid if, like, I don't know.
I would like to see you.
Well, you're also an MMA fighter.
I would, yeah.
You're short and scrappy.
We should see if we can get him into the ring with the octagon, as it were, with Zach. That'd be kind of nice. Well, here's a question for you, Zach.
He's a big dude. He's a big dude.
He's definitely like 6'3 or 6'4 or something. He's a big dude. But here's my question for you. You travel around circuits of a lot of MMA fighters, right?
Everybody. Yeah, I mean, I do personally just because I like to...
Sure.
I like to get new looks and stuff. A lot of people don't. Like, they stay in their own gym and they just do their own thing. And, like, I think that's good. I think you should have loyalty to your coach. But, yeah, I like to travel as much as I can.
That's awesome. Just, like, yeah. What's like, the locker room talk? What do people talk about? MMA fighters talk about? Is it mostly just fighting technique stuff? What's going on in there?
So when I was in Germany, it was all, like, fighters there were either, like... Actually, fighters everywhere are like pretty wild because it takes like a certain type of person to want to like
fight
beat people up.
Yeah.
With that being said, though, like in Germany, it was a lot of like where I was. I don't know about the rest of the country, but I know that there's a really good team called MMA Spirit. I never trained there, but I know the people there are really cool guys. But like where I was, it was a lot of like really like devout like Muslim fighters from like the Caucasus region. So they're all like their locker room talk was like a lot different than what locker room talk or like I guess like behind the scenes talk you would get like in America.
Right.
So over there, it was all like, just like, you know, they're pretty.
But
they're
religious
people, so they're decent for that reason. But yeah. In America, it was like, it's more like, I don't know. They're all like a lot of like, just like crazy, like outlandish people who are like, they're always looking for like new things to do and like new like ways to get adrenaline rush. Like kind of like me too, in the same way.
I could see it. You're 20 years old.
Yeah, a lot of people listen to like Joe Rogan. 20. And,
20.
Yeah.
Joe Rogan's of the world. But I would also say that, I mean, I don't know for sure because I don't travel around it, but from what I understand, from what I remember a lot, is like, that fighting mentality is a lot founded on like they're usually very religious people. Is that, do you find that?
Yeah, with wrestling, it for sure was. Everybody who I know who was like a good wrestler was either a devout Christian or a devout Muslim, and it wasn't like there weren't a lot of secular wrestlers. There are, like, I'm not saying there aren't, but like in MMA it's different though, because in MMA, like for like jiu-jitsu and stuff, you get a lot of like, I don't know, like stoner people, like psychonaut people. I don't know why. Like, just like around the people I've been, they've all been like basically crazy juggies. Like, to be honest, like,
that's why
I didn't think they can fight.
That's a bad idea.
A lot of them can though. Like a lot of them.
I do that all the time.
No,
I could fight.
Yeah, I know you do. All the time. Mike had this thing where when we were living close proximity, he always wanted to pull up contests, and he always wanted to do arm wrestling contests. Constantly wanted to do them, even though he was terrible.
I was the pull up contest.
You were the pull up contest.
At my height, I was doing 15. I could do like 13 to 15, which is not bad. Now I could probably do like 3.
I bet Zach could do. I'm gonna say, before you say what you could do, what's your pull up record? I'm gonna say 35. Giggles, take a guess.
I'm gonna say 28. Well, it's got to be an even number, so I'll say 30.
30 is a lot. I have honestly never done 30. I've broken 25 before. I'll probably say 28 was a good guess, actually.
There it is. See, I know this guy.
I think I could do more. I mean, I've been getting kind of like heavier though, just like lifting more and like just getting bigger, just cause like I'm growing too. And like that hasn't helped.
You're getting to be a big boy.
You're growing boy, buddy.
But like, you know, I mean, big muscle. Like, I'm not getting.
Yeah, no, we know what you mean. We know that you're getting to be a big boy, buddy. You're all right. My follow up to my question before, keep it going. So like locker room talk. I mean, you get into that kind of world of like wrestling and boxing and MMA and all that stuff, and I'm sure there's a lot of political talk. Is there a lot of like anti-Trump, a lot of pro-Trump in there? What's give us the lowdown?
So this I could talk forever on about like politics and fighting, but
we only have 17 minutes.
Yeah, I know we only have 17 minutes. But so fighting across the board is going to be a diverse thing, because let's be real here. If you're not super tall, you're probably not going to be a good basketball player. If you can't jump, you're not going to be a good basketball player. You know, if you weren't born fast, you're probably not going to become a track star.
White men can't jump.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you like, no, good but it's movie. Like serious though. Like people from different like backgrounds, you know, ethnicities, cultures, whatever, they're not going to be involved in everything and everything equally. But the one thing that has a consistent, like across the board, everybody has people who are good at it. Everybody has people who are into it. It is fight sports. And so like, because of that, I think that I was very lucky in my own political education that through fighting and through wrestling, I was able to like travel the world. I was able to meet lots of different people from all over the place. And they're good people.
So yeah, all right. So you align yourself relatively politically with all your fellow fighters.
No, I would align myself politically as a full blown communist. I would say if I had to.
That's why you call your friends comrades.
Comrades.
Jeff Monson. Jeff Monson for sure is. And then my other friends who have the same political beliefs. I know I'm going to get hella flack for this. I probably shouldn't have said that. Because,
you already did. It's already out there, buddy. We already got it.
Now. Yeah, whatever. It's cool.
Comrades, you're going to be called a Russian, the red fighter. Well, all right. So I have a question for you. So you said you recently converted to Islam or to being a Muslim. So you're also, so let's talk about this. What's what was the impetus for that? Because you weren't born, you know. What's your story? What's the...
Hey, hold on. I'll call you back. I'm on the radio right now.
Bring her on, bro.
I'm not gonna. Just a second. Okay. So my story with that was really early on in my life. So I used to have a lot of hateful views. I'm like very far left now, but I used to be pretty much as right as you could get. And like that sounds weird coming from a multiracial kid, but like I kind of took out like a lot of the like pain that I experienced in school and stuff as like It was like my parents' fault for making me like a biracial kid. You know, I could have been just a pure white boy or a pure Asian boy, but instead I was mixed. And so I didn't have anyone I fit in with. I didn't have the culture that I could fit in with yet. And that was just because I didn't know how to separate good people from bad people. And that's an important skill I think everyone should have, being able to separate the bad from the good, like just in any group. And, but I didn't have that yet. I was too young. I was immature. And so like growing up really, like in Germany, you know, I was fighting, always fighting with like white kids. And then I was fighting, like, the black kids didn't accept me either, though. Like, there was a lot, like, a big African community, like, Somalian community. They didn't like me either because, you know, they didn't know where I stood. And really nobody accepted me. So I was always just, like, fighting everybody. And there was a lot of hatred. You know, I was really, like, I started, like, online. I was on, like, 4chan all the time. And I was reading a lot of shit about, like.
4chan's a pretty crazy place.
Yeah, and there was a lot of, like, I, honestly, for a while, I would self-identify myself as, like, a Nazi who wasn't even. Like literally, and this is like an Asian
German Nazi.
This is getting really weird.
Yeah. And the thing was, is my white supremacist. I had white supremacist friends at the time, and they would tell me, they would say, "Yeah, dude, like, it's not your fault. You were born that way, and it's good that you realize it." And they used me as like a token and like kind of like poster boy for a lot of the things that they did. Mm. And so then I transferred. I moved from the city that I was, which was like primarily white, and I moved to this other place. I moved to like right outside of Frankfurt, which is where. Most people know, and I started wrestling at this one gym, and everybody there was from the Caucasus region. Everybody there, though, my first second there, like I was kind of realizing that what I was believing was wrong, and I was kind of realizing that who I was not a good person, not a person I wanted to be. I went to this gym, or this training center, this club, and all the people there, all the wrestlers there were people from every background. There were Germans there, like white Germans. There were Turks. There were people from Dagestan, a lot of Dagestanis. People from Armenia, all different faiths, all different religions. But like the majority of my friends happened to also like be Muslims, people who I was normally like really bigoted against. And they're also like brown people, you know? Mm-hmm. They weren't like, I mean, I don't know what you consider like Armenians or like Georgians or like Dagestanis or whatever. They don't really look like white, like European white. And so like these people who like I normally had like no, and like Central Asian people too, like people from Afghanistan and like Uzbekistan, like Tajikistan, stuff like that. I met a lot of people from all these different backgrounds. From the Eastern Hemisphere, and because of it, like I kind of was able to like get a cultural identity, and that's when I was first exposed to Islam, and I realized like the people who accepted me, the people who were good friends to me, when nobody else was really able to accept me for who I was, they were Muslim people, and it was like
brethren.
I've always had a very strong connection to God, or like the idea of God. I've always believed in God even before I was a Muslim, and I've always like. I prayed to somebody. I didn't know who I was praying to. I didn't know what I was praying to, but you know, before every match, before everything I would do, like before every test in school, even, you know, I would pray, and that gave me like some sort of power. And I didn't know what it was, and just like only recently, like very recently, I was able to kind of like refine my beliefs and understand like because you know I read the Bible cover to cover many times. I've always like when I wasn't like being like a racist and a piece of shit. I've always felt like a connection to like Judaism too. Like I read a lot of it. I loved it. And, but then one thing, like it didn't quite fit with me. And then when I read the Quran, like all of a sudden it was just like, bam, it was like missing puzzle piece. And it just like fit right into my heart. And I was like, what? This is crazy. Like it was like a mind blowing experience. Just like reading it. Like I read it cover to cover. It's not long. It's not like the Bible where it's like cut like 1,000-something pages. Sure, it's like,
keep it quick.
Yeah, they keep it quick.
It's pretty concise.
It is very concise. And when I read it, like there's no extra words or anything like that. When I read it, I was like, oh man, this is it. This is what I've been missing. And like, so that's how that happened. Cool. And that's been going on over the course of like years now, though, like I said, because my first exposure to it is when I first started reading about it. And again, going back to the thing where being able to separate bad people from good people, you know, we're surrounded by media that's like very like fear-mongering. And like one of the victims of that is going to be Muslims. And so growing up, I didn't have... I was afraid to become Muslim because I was always hearing about like, you know, oppressing women, different things that you hear about.
The bad stuff.
And like, I'm sure like every religion has bad stuff and every religion has bad people.
Sure.
But being able to separate the good from the bad is what allowed me to convert basically. Cause it was like, I don't need to be one of those bad people just because I am, one of them in a different way, you know?
Sure.
If that makes sense.
Sure. You're young.
Like we should hook him up with Morgan. Yeah. They feel like
you should totally hook him up with Morgan. Did you see Morgan's Instagram stories today? They were out of control. They were literally out of control. She was at like a party where
my niece.
Yeah,
she's 24.
She was at a party where like everybody was naked. I wasn't quite sure what was going on. Maybe right up your alley. I don't know, Zach.
She takes lots of Instagram photos.
She does.
So. Everybody, you should. Can I shout myself out real fast? Can I
yeah, that's what we want you to do.
All right, my Instagram is ZAKR_MMA. So Zach, like the first two letters of my first and last name, Zach Kraft, ZAKR_MMA. My Twitter is at RoloZach. You can find me on Facebook as well, just my first and last name.
Nice.
I don't really use that, but yeah, just letting everyone know.
Nice. You gonna get any videos up of any fights soon?
I have lots of all my fight stuff, all my wrestling stuff, everything that I basically do is up on my Instagram.
That's awesome. All right, so I'm gonna check that out.
Dave, yeah, when's the replay of this show? Let's tell this
tomorrow. Time. Tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Eastern Standard Time.
Yeah. I'm in DC, so Eastern Time. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. Cool. All right.
And if you ever want to come up to the studio,
yeah,
you can. You want to come up to New York? In Brooklyn. If you're ever in Brooklyn,
let's set up a fight in New York. We'll promote the hell out of it, and I'll be there ringside for you. I'll be cheering you on.
Actually, yeah. Man, I honestly love like New York is like probably my favorite place in the world. And when I moved to DC, it was me trying to move to New York.
Sure.
I
just got caught. You're one step away. Keep coming, buddy.
That's DC's motto.
It is DC's motto. We're almost New York.
It's the shitty borough. It's like a shitty borough that just like fell off the map. Like,
yeah,
fell south.
That's awesome. All right, Zach. Good talking. I got some people out here.
Plug the Instagram and the Twitter.
Plug the Instagram and Twitter one more time.
At ZAKR_MMA. If you guys ever choose to have me on again, I want to talk about how taking 30 tabs of LSD cured my depression completely.
All right, next time we'll talk about it.
We should do that. Let's save that for next time.
Yeah, let's save that for next time.
Give that the whole hour.
Yeah, like I think we touched on it a little bit. Yeah, but yeah, just FYI, guys, I'm not advocating anybody do 30 tabs of LSD.
No, everybody do what they got to do. Right.
But it did cure my depression completely, and I'm a different person after doing it. So all right,
next time we'll talk about how you cured your acid, and next time we're going to talk about the fight that we're going to be promoting in New York. So we got a lot of things lined up. Zach, you've been awesome. Good work. I got some girls in the hallway here. They're going to come in. They're going to talk about their documentary one more time. So I don't want to leave them out there all alone. So we got like a good 10 minutes. So Zach, awesome. Let's catch up again soon. Good words, buddy. Good words. All positive. I like it. I'll talk to you soon.
Exactly.
Take care.
Later, buddy.
Can I hang up or do I stay?
You could stay if you want. hang up. Stay. Do what you got to do.
I got to call someone back, though. They were calling me the whole time.
Yeah. You can hang up, and I think we'll still be on.
We'll still be on. We're all right.
All right. Thank you. It was great. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Cool.
You guys are great.
Thanks. All right, buddy.
See you
later.
Buddy. See ya.
What's happening? So your mom came in, and she was like in full mom mode, and she was all like, I'm promoting my daughter, and she's making a documentary. We're going to get the mic in front of you there.
Okay. Hello.
So introduce yourself, Becca. That's what I know about you.
Hi, my name's Rebecca Brubaker. I go by Becca Morgan online at It's Me, Becca M on Twitter.
It's Me, Becca M. Your mom had it wrong.
She forgot the M. Unfortunately, there's another It's Me, Becca. So I'm the It's Me, Becca M.
We also say hi to our co-host. He's in Colorado.
Oh, hi.
He's Giggles.
Thanks for having me on, Giggles.
Yeah, throw the headphones on for yourself so you can hear him.
Make this look official.
Becca.
Okay.
We got a couple minutes, but we'll sit here and I want to talk to you because you made a documentary and you like went all in on it and you were like, I'm gonna do this documentary about Hillary Clinton.
Yeah.
You followed Hillary Clinton. You promoted her. You went door to door. You went all out for Hillary. Didn't work out.
Yeah.
Tough news. Mm-hmm. It sucks. It really does. But you got to do an interview with her.
Yeah.
Which is really cool. Tell us about how the interview went.
So, I did work for Hillary's campaign. I worked for the DNC. And, of course, the loss was very devastating for me on a personal level just because, you know, I kind of came of age as a woman under her campaign and was really looking forward to sort of the spoils of it all after working so hard. But
things were doing really well for a while, too, you know?
Yeah. Like,
things were going really well for women and minorities, and then all of a sudden not so much. Yeah,
but then, you know what? We kind of had a reckoning moment from it where we really had to look our country in the face. And so, you know, in the end, I think some good's going to come out of this, and we maybe really needed to get a splash of cold water. So I was really frustrated kind of with the lack of storytelling about the people who were touched by the first female nominee campaign. And I met so many people along the campaign trail. And then when I was at Hillary's book signing launch in New York, I was reminded of how special the community is. And so I just walked out of her signing. I met her for the first time. I was like, I'm going to do a documentary because you can complain about stuff or you can do something about it.
Do something about it.
I picked up my camera just like I did during the campaign and set off. And a month later, suddenly Hillary Clinton was grabbing my hands and telling me how excited she was for it and that she wanted to help me. And then a couple weeks later, she endorsed my film on Twitter.
Great.
And we raised...
So that must have blew up.
Yeah, it was great. And she didn't tell me she was going to do that. So I was literally driving back to Boston and my phone buzzed and I get her notification. So I saw... She had tweeted, "So proud of you, Becca," and I was like, "That's definitely not me." And then
that's definitely not Hillary, the real Hillary Clinton.
Yeah, and then I saw it was like the URL had my username in it. I was like, "Oh God!" And then I realized she endorsed my film, and so I called my director, who's my best friend Marina Khalili out in Los Angeles, and I was like, "Get on my Twitter. You got to respond. Like, we got to do something." But I'm driving, and you know, I don't do distracted driving, so smart. Yeah, it was crazy. After that,
they're smart. They're much smarter than I am.
Yeah, we're each other's assistants. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, she's at Marina Khalili on Twitter. She would want me to plug her.
There it is.
So it was really crazy. After that, I formed a relationship with her, and unbeknownst to me, she had been following my campaign or my Twitter for a really long time. So yeah, I traveled with her, filmed
people.
That's
so cool.
It was awesome.
That's cool. So you had a screening next door.
Yeah.
It went really well, I heard. Yeah. Your mom said it went really well.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a
so
few
proud.
Hiccups.
Look at her. She's so proud.
Aww.
Is her mom in the studio?
She's in the studio. Yeah. She's in the studio. Mom's in the studio.
What a great mom.
Yeah. She's here. Mom. She's taking video of her daughter talking about her movie on a radio show. Dave and Giggles. That's who we are. So if you want to look us up, we're Dave and Giggles.
Oh, my God. I totally am. It was so cool talking with you.
Yeah. I mean, it's the end of the show. I will definitely have you on again. So if you do another screening or something, let us know. Come in. We'll promote it.
Awesome.
And give us your rundown of everything you want to promote.
Yeah, so the 12 Little Girls account is at TATLG Doc on Twitter. We're also on Instagram at 12 Little Girls. And then, of course, again, my Twitter is at It's Me Becca M.
It's Me Becca M. You can find it all right there.
Yeah,
I bet.
It's all there.
Sweet. So when's she's saying it's going to premiere on YouTube?
Yeah, so it comes out June 13th, which is 3 years after Secretary Clinton launched her campaign officially here in New York City. So it shows kind of a sentimental date for
that's
that.
That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
That
it's going to be at 12littlegirlsdoc.com. The website unlocks that's at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. Yep.
So is this going to like really promote your filmmaking career? Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, well, I'm actually going into the AmeriCorps next year. I'm enlisting as Hillary called for us to do, and I'm mentoring in a school in L.A. So I'll do that for a year. And then after that, I would really like to continue to use storytelling to promote civic engagement in politics, because democracy doesn't work unless we all participate.
You're going to run? You're going to be?
Eventually, maybe. But I'm kind of settled in digital and communications right now.
All right, so you're going to be the marketer and promoter of the next president.
I'll be the Huma Abedin to a Hillary Clinton. Okay. That's like what I'd like to say.
Huma was awesome. Her husband, not so much.
But Huma is an amazing person.
Huma was awesome.
She's
an
amazing person. She's been so kind to me as well. She's great.
That's awesome. All right. We have a minute left. I'm Becca M.
It's me, Becca M.
It's me, Becca M. Sorry. Yep. I'm focusing on a lot of things. It's me, Becca M, on Twitter. You can go see her, all the stuff for her movie. And that's so cool. That's so cool that we just ran into you.
Yeah, I'm so happy to do this.
Yeah, we'll friend up on Instagram and Facebooks and whatever there is out there. I don't know anymore. And we'll have you on next time you're doing a premiere.
Yeah, we'll definitely have more. Thank you so much.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, thanks for everything.
Yeah. Thanks, Mom. So proud. Look at
I guess
her
my mom's
there.
My agent now.
She is.
I didn't know that.
She is. She's already, look at her. She's
also
on the phone. She's
behind the scenes,
getting the stuff out.
I'm ironing hair while my other daughter did the makeup. It was like,
you guys look lovely.
When you're in the
you guys look lovely. You did a great job.
Yeah.
All right. We're